Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Trolley Watch, New Idea Food's very fabulous podcast. My name is Amy Sinclair and I am joined by the always wonderful, always fabulous Barbara Northwood.
Hi, Amy.
How are you?
I'm really good.
Thanks for coming back. You got your trolley in your hand.
I certainly do.
Wheeling down the aisles.
I love it. I go up every aisle too.
You sure do. I bet you do, Barb. Looking for more things to pack into the freezer. Trolley Watch, of course, is your number one podcast for all things cooking and shopping and bargains and supermarkets. If you want to know about it, we're going to tell you. Right, Barb?
We sure are.
Let's get straight into it. This is one of my favourite segments. Well, we do it every week. It's Best in Aisle. It's, of course, where we get four or five or six, however many, popular varieties of one product. We do taste test to work out which is our favourite and we let you know. Because you go to the supermarket, don't you, Barb? And there's so much choice.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, there's the store brand ones. There are the ones that, you know, you know about, the big marketing campaigns. But looking at the packet, you often don't know which one's best.
No, you stand there agonising.
You do. Yep. And, you know, it'd be nice just to know. I mean, obviously, and often there are very big price difference, of course.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
Do I get the $2 one? Do I get the $6 one? Do I get the $10 one?
Yes. And price doesn't necessarily always mean the best,
does it? Isn't that the truth, Barb, eh? Hey. All right, so this week we did camembert. Honestly, could I think of anything better that we could taste test?
I know, it's my favourite.
In fact, everything that we've done in recent weeks I'm pretty excited about, but camembert, I could have just like face planted them.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah,
get in there. Enough about me and my cheese fetish. Let's go through them one by one. So first up, we had the Audi Emporium Camembert. Now, that's 125 grams, very, very well priced at $2.79. Barb, tell me what you thought.
I thought it was absolutely delicious.
It was a
beautiful
good one, wasn't it?
And creamy. I like to take them out of the fridge about an hour before I use them or eat them.
Great advice.
And it started to melt in the middle and it was just a beautiful cheese,
a lovely flavour.
Yeah.
It looked really authentic, didn't it? Like sometimes they can look a bit cardboardy when they're whole. But this had the beautiful kind of authentic, quite sort of wash rind. And when you cut into it, Barb's right, it just kind of was a bit gooey and a bit yummy.
Well, this one has won a bronze and silver medal at various shows. 95%
The Amy Sinclair cheese show.
Yeah, 95% Aussie ingredients. A really, really good product, I thought.
Next up, we had the Coles home brand camembert, 125 grams, and this one's $3. So 21 cents more than the Audi version, but, you know, still a well-priced cheese. What did you think, Barb?
Look, I thought the flavour was quite nutty. It wasn't bad, but it didn't have that lovely melty texture. It was a little bit solid for me.
It was quite cardboardy.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know when you get a cheese out of the camembert out of the fridge and you cut it straight away and it's
and
quite
just
like a
holds
big wedge.
Its shape.
Yeah. It was like it you'd just got out of the fridge, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it was a bit for that one.
Next up we had the Woolworths ham home brand, the milk and creamy camembert cheese for $3 again. And that's 125 grams. What'd you think of this one, Barb?
I thought it was a little bit ordinary, almost like the Coles version. Again, it didn't melt. It was very solid. If anything, a little bit rubbery. So, yeah, and again, not a favourite at all.
You could have sort of hurled it across like a hockey puck, couldn't you?
Yes.
Gone
cut out
rounds.
Shapes with it, I think.
Next we had, now I love the name of this one. The unicorn camembert cheese, which is actually lactose free. It's like my daughter decided to name cheese one day. They got her in and said, "What would you call this camembert?" And she went, "Unicorn." That's not true at all. My daughter's 13. She's literally going to stab me in the eye when she hears me say that. She'd call it like, I don't know, Travis Scott or something. Anyway, What did you think of the unicorn cheese?
I actually liked this one. It was very creamy and really tasty. For lactose-free, it was a really lovely cheese.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good, really good.
I'm a big fan of – I mean, I've been having the Aldi cheese for some years now, and I'm a big fan of it. But I've got to say the lactose-free one was
– really good.
Really
for
good.
What it was. It was delicious. Yeah.
$5, it's a bit more expensive, but still – it's not going to break the bank, but it's definitely a bit more expensive. Then the last one we tried was a Tasmanian Heritage Camembert cheese, $5 for 125 grams. Now, this one you'll recognise when you're in – you've probably seen it before, guys. It's the oval-shaped one from Coles and Woolworths. Barb, what did you think of this one?
I thought it was a little bit disappointing, to be honest. I thought it was perhaps, again, not a lot of flavour and didn't have that lovely creamy runny centre.
That's what you're really looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, totally. Big old pilot. I think you get spoiled when you've had a really good one and then you go to something like this. So,
yeah. All right, Barb, it's time for it. You know what I'm going to say. You can hear it coming. But what gets the golden trolley?
It has to be Aldi's.
Oh.
Look, not only for price but just that flavour.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
But, you know, the lactose-free one definitely gets a
– second place.
A second place. Amazing. Well, thank you, guys. Don't forget to head to our Facebook page, New Idea Food, or even Foodiful, where we will continue the conversation about your favourite cheese. Until next time, Barb.
Thanks, Amy.
New Idea Foods Trolley Watch. Now, this has to be one of my favourites. It's Barb's Blind Taste Test. Enter the show tune music there. Pretty, please. Anyway, today, Barb, I have four different types of instant coffee.
Yes.
You have no idea which
ones.
I'm going to tell you right now, I am giving you a huge range of coffees here. Now, they all look very similar.
Yes.
They smell pretty similar, but you're going to pick which one's your favourite.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you which ones they are so far, right?
All
so
right,
we've got Aldi's Or Cafe Aroma Classic. Now, that's $3.69 for 200-gram jar, so quite well priced. I've also got the Coles Original Granulated Coffee, which again is 200 grams for $3.70. I'm pretty sure the Coles coffee has already won a few awards.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you don't know which is which. No. So, you know, we're still going into this blind, but just letting you know, we do have an award winner in here.
Okay.
We've also got the Makona Classic Medium Roast. Who hasn't tried Makona in their days?
Yes, it's been around a long time, Makona.
Long time. Mm. Which is a bit more expensive, $13 for a 200-gram jar.
Yes.
So it's a quality drop there, Barb. And then we have the International Roast Instant Coffee, 500-gram tin for, again, $11. All right, Barb, I'm going to hit you up. Now, Barb's made me do a very, very, very specific scientific, you know, version of this. We've got 200 mils of water with the teaspoon of coffee so that there's no disparity.
Okay, so this is the first
between
one.
Between the two. Yeah, don't look at the bottom, Barb, because that's where it says what it is. There's no cheating. No cheating. This is a...
Yes.
Yeah. All right, that's number one.
Yep.
All right. We'll put that over here. Number two, Barb. Oh.
Two. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Oh, that got a bit of a...
Yeah, it did.
Got a bit of a tick of approval, I can tell. Number three. Oh,
yes.
She's not sure on that one, but Dennis, I can tell you right now. That's the last one.
Okay. Right.
Oh.
Well, that's very interesting.
It is very interesting.
I am a coffee drinker. I really love coffee.
You do, Barb, don't you? You have like about 312 cups a day, don't you?
About a fourth this morning.
Sometimes you need it, don't you?
Oh, I certainly do. When I go to the airport, I always order two coffees, but they're both for me.
Down them. Then you get a vodka, don't you, Barb? I'm kidding.
No, not really.
Put the vodka in the coffee.
All right, Barb, tell me, which is your favourite?
It would be number three.
Number three. All right. Drum roll, people. And
tell me.
I'm happy to confirm,
yes,
that Barb has chosen the Aldi coffee.
Really?
The cheapest one, $3.69.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
You've picked that as your number one. Would you drink it as a daily, you know, drink?
Having now tasted that, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got flavour.
And Barb, what was your second favourite?
Obviously the last one.
Oh, let me have a look. Oh, that one's Coles.
Yeah.
There you go. Aldi and Coles have beaten Makona and International Roast.
There you go.
In the bar blind test. Well, there you go, guys. Get out your $3. That's all you need for a decent jar of coffee.
That's
love it.
That's good value, isn't it, though?
Well
That's
done, Barb. Really you've gone through it again and you've made it. So, Barb, with this next segment, I am doing something very different with you because obviously you know that New Idea Food and Foodful have a very, very huge social media following.
Yeah, we sure
and
do.
We get a lot of questions through on our Facebook pages. So I have three questions from people who have very, very, very interesting questions that they would love you to answer.
Okay.
So I'm just going to hit you with it. Ready, Barb?
Yep, ready.
Question one. This comes from Eleanor. I love using phyllo pastry, but it always cracks when I am folding it. I hear you, Eleanor. I hear you. Happens to me all the time. Do you have any tips, Barb?
Look, I sure do. What you need to do is lay it out flat on a bench, and then you must keep it covered, probably with a tea towel, a damp tea towel. Otherwise, it dries out very quickly. Mm. Now, if the tea towel is too damp, you end up tearing it because it does become soggy. Ugh. So if you want to, put a piece of plastic wrap over it and then the tea towel. But that's the secret to handling phyllo. It is just very, very delicate and it does tear. And also we've found that if you use frozen phyllo, sometimes that can tear also when you're unfolding it because it's well, I must say sometimes the stores freeze it. It probably thaws on the way to the store or in their yeah. storeroom, and then it goes to the freezer. So by the time you get it home, you can have a bit of trouble with it. So it's not necessarily always your fault.
So
don't blame yourself, but just treat it carefully.
Never blame yourself. It's just cooking, isn't it, Barb?
It sure is.
So a bit of a plastic overlay,
yep.
bit of cling film,
yes.
and then a nice damp tea towel that yes. isn't too damp. Just yes. wring it out well.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. You wouldn't want to have a bit of, you know,
no bacteria
chicken juice on it or something. Ew.
Okay.
Question two. When this comes from Sarah.
Yes.
When I thicken a casserole sauce or gravy with corn flour, I'm never sure when to add it. This is true.
Yes.
What do you suggest?
It's always a bit of a problem. First of all, you must blend the corn flour with water
yes.
to make it pourable. And then once the casserole's finished cooking or the gravy's reduced to the right consistency, you then stir in the corn flour, continue to stir over a high heat until it boils and thickens. If
right.
you don't boil it, it won't thicken. And what happens is if you keep boiling it for too long because you need to do something else and it's cooking away, the corn flour will actually break down again. So you need to re-add it. It's not like flour. Flour is a much stronger bond.
So it kind of loses its magical ability.
So it's always at the very last you add it.
Amazing. I didn't know that. Question three. Now, this comes from Emma. Why do I need to always use caster sugar when I make cakes? Lots of sugar out there, Barb. Why do we always have to have caster sugar?
Because it has a smaller crystal size than regular sugar. And also it dissolves more easily in the butter, so it does become very light and fluffy. That's why a lot of recipes have that as a, you know, a one-liner.
Yeah.
Beat butter and sugar. If you use regular sugar, you could end up with a very crusty crust on the cake and white patches because it really doesn't dissolve.
Ew.
You've got to dissolve it in that butter before it goes into
no
the
one
oven.
No, it's a patchy cake, too.
No.
That's just nasty.
And I've seen fruit cakes like that, too. It's not
you?
Creamed enough, not beaten enough. So it ends up very crunchy, crunchy crust.
I'm not a great baker, but I'm not going to lie to you. And my mum's always on my back about, you're not creaming it long enough.
Yes.
Oh, Pavlova's, I'm a shocker.
Yes.
She said, I'm not patient enough. It's true.
Yeah, that's
it's true. It's true. Mum's always right. Thanks, Barb. If you have any more questions, please send your questions through to our Facebook pages, New Idea Food or Foodiful, and we'll get Barb on the air to answer them for you. Thanks, Barb.
Lovely. Thanks, Amy.
Oh, Barb, this next segment. This is a corker, isn't it?
It sure is.
Now, it's called Battle of the Budget Nonstick Fry Pans. I don't know about you, Barb, but I'm not a big fan of spending a lot of money on serious cookware. Now, Barb, I'm sure – now, and guys, let me just tell you, I have been to the New Idea Food Test Kitchen. There's seven different kitchens – like kitchen stations, am I right, Barb?
That's
seven?
Right, yes.
Yep, seven different kitchen stations. That's seven ovens, cooktops, the works, different bench spaces. It's like MasterChef in there, isn't there?
It sure is.
It's very, very – and they've got pantries and they've got all sorts lined up. And let me tell you about the cookware and the plates. There's a whole room full of just plates and different, all colour coordinated plates and crockery and all sorts. It just looks really, really pretty. But then they've got these appliances and the fry pans and the chopping boards.
Yes.
At least 84,000 chopping boards. You've never seen, you've never seen so many chopping boards. But when it comes to cookware, it's serious business, isn't it?
Yep,
isn't it, Barb?
It really
and
is.
I'm guessing that you've got some pretty fancy firepower at home.
Yeah, I do. I've loved, you know, I bought my cookware, which was a set of saucepans and a fry pan, I can tell you, back in 1980, and I still use them.
Wow.
That's how good. It was a whole wage back in those days. My whole wage went to invested in these.
Well, and it's, I mean, we're talking what, you know, 20, I can't add, 25 years.
I think a lot longer than that.
38 years. It's been
totally.
Like 112 years and they're still going
and
strong.
And they're still going. Yeah.
That's a good
enamel
investment.
Enamel coated. Brilliant. Yep. I
That's
love
That's how
them.
I feel about my shoes. But anyway, I digress. But I do love a good cheap cookware when you, you know, piece of cookware when you find it. I was saying to you before that I've been using a $10 fry pan that I bought from Woolworths for years now. I absolutely love it because it gets a really good crust on it when you're doing stir fries or when you're doing a quick steak and they're not too heavy, like it gets really good heat under it. So I'm a big fan of a budget cookware. So I'm very excited about this. What we did was, guys, we got five different fry pans from all your regular players. And the price limit was $20, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, indeed.
We did the Woolies fry pan, which was $13. This actually looked quite impressive. It had a it was quite big, very big. You could easily do a pasta in there or a stir fry if you wanted.
Yep.
It had a ridged bottom.
Yes.
Oh, that sounded a bit like cellulite, a bit rude. Good God. But it was certainly very impressive.
Yeah, that was a 30-centimetre one. Yeah.
There was the Kmart stone-based one, which was $13. Now, this has got some pretty seriously good reviews on our Facebook so far.
Yes.
The Kmart Mums Australia Facebook group, a lot of the mums in there absolutely rave about it, saying it's better than their Scam Pan and their Jamie Oliver Tefal one. So this has some pretty good reviews behind it. The Big W one was $9.50. This is the one that is very similar to the one I've got at home, and it's a big fry pan, got a very high side on it.
Yes.
And it is very sort of big and generous. Then we had the Coles one, which was $8, a little smaller than the others. And then we had the Audi $20 one. It's a bit of a change that the most expensive one came from Audi, but it was a very impressive one.
Yeah, and that was 30 centimetres too.
Yeah, 30 centimetres. It comes with a 5-year warranty, triple layer nonstick.
Yeah.
So quite your fancy one. And what we did was we got a pancake mix together. And we cooked the same pancake in all the fry pans to work out which one, A, had the best nonstick coating.
Yes.
Two were the best to use, like just sort of, and also had really even kind of cooking.
Yes.
So pancakes are a really good way, aren't they, Barb?
Absolutely. A good judge.
Yeah, good, because you can see the brownness across them.
But I've got some tips here before we go on with that, Amy.
Barb, go,
on
please.
Why people actually buy a nonstick fry pan. So the newer coatings are more scratch resistant than they used to be because that was the trouble.
Yeah.
You know, you move things and then they're ruined.
You use your wrong utensil,
exactly,
a metal, and then it goes. It's all up.
The cleanup is easy because you simply wash them in hot soapy water and then rinse and wipe dry. You need less fat to cook in, so that makes them healthier. So usually they are lighter to handle than stainless steel cookware. Plus they're suitable for most frying tasks but produce really good results when making pancakes, crepes, eggs and bacon.
Oh.
See, they're
I'm
really
onto
good.
Something,
you have to
aren't
have
I?
One. Totally.
I'm onto
totally,
something.
Totally.
All right. So, Barb, talk me through. What did you think of the Woolies one?
I thought it was a little bit patchy.
It was a bit, and it took ages to get the heat up, didn't it?
A lot, yes. Nice and light to handle. It was deep. It cooks on all surfaces, gas, halogen, but really, not the best quality what we were looking for.
No. Next one's the Kmart one. What did you think of the Kmart one, Bob?
And again, not as good as a nonstick surface, really, for pancakes.
It was good to cook
with, wasn't
it? Heavy
gauge aluminium, it was.
But
again, a little bit patchy. But the
colour on the
one.
Bottom of the pancakes, guys, it was sort of half of it sort of was brown but
white,
then had
speckledy,
some
bits
of white in there. So it wasn't a very even kind of cooking. Next one was the Big W one. What did you think?
I liked it. I really liked it. Really lovely, even brown pancake. As soon as it came out, you could see that. Good heat distribution, nice non-stick interior, quick to heat, easy to handle, was light. I liked that one. For $9, really good.
$9, yeah. I mean, you can't argue. Now the Coles one, $8. Let's have a little chat about that.
It wasn't stable. It was so light. It just,
kept on tipping over. It was actually a bit look, I don't want to throw words around like unsafe or, you know, but it was –
it was a little bit
wobbly.
Unsafe, yeah. But it did produce a really
great
good pancake.
It was a great – if you have something in it, it holds it down and then it's fine. So it produced a great pancake, but you just wouldn't want to leave it on the stovetop for any period of time because it just topples off, unfortunately. And the last one, Audi. $20, Barb, what did you think?
Yeah. Again, it was a little bit patchy on the pancakes and also that handle tended to get a little bit hot. If it was left there for any length of time. So for the value, it wasn't bad, but again – I probably wouldn't go for the Aldi one.
Now, Barb, did you test about how it feels when you hit your husband over the back of the head with it when he's being a
– No, I haven't done that one.
Is that just me?
Sorry. That's you.
That's
you and Jimmy.
I'm kidding, guys. It's a bit too – you know, I wouldn't waste a good fry pan on that. Ha ha. Now, Barb, tell me, which one's your pick? Which one would you spend your hard-earned money on?
W for $9.
I called it early, didn't I, guys?
It was really good.
I said it was surprisingly good. Yes. $9.50.
Nice.
And it's really deep. You can
really easily do
a stir fry, noodles, pasta, anything in there.
And if you had arthritis in the wrists, you could lift it easily. And sometimes they're so heavy, that cookware.
If Big W want to kind of sponsor me and make me the face of their fry pans, I'm happy to consider all offers. Absolutely. Just want to leave that one there. Thank you, Barb. Okay. We're going to go play with our fry pans a bit more.
Sure are.
Now, Barb, our last segment of the day, can this dessert be saved? I don't think I'm alone here when I say that I've had my fair share of dessert disasters. I'm a good cook,
yes.
But when it comes to desserts, there's a real science to some of it, isn't it?
And is. And I think we've all had mistakes. I think we've all had those disasters, though. It's not just you.
But, Barb, you're saying that you don't have to throw away your botched dessert.
You certainly
can
don't.
Actually turn it into something more, can't you?
Exactly.
So what do, Barb? You've made a pavlova. You've baked a cheesecake. It's absolutely a disaster. Either it's fallen apart or
– sometimes they stick to the paper because the sugar's not dissolved and then they weep. And then when you try to move them, it all just goes into pieces. Don't despair. What you need to do is you soften a 2-litre carton of ice cream. Oh. So it could be any flavour you want, even vanilla. You then whip a 300ml carton of cream to soft peaks, fold that through the ice cream, slightly soften it.
Yeah.
And then you put in the broken pieces of pavlova with a cup of frozen raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, whatever you've
got.
How
good does that sound?
And then you put it into a 24-centimetre springform pan, line it with plastic wrap, put that mixture in and pop it into the freezer and freeze it and you can cut that into wedges. Beautiful.
You'd almost botch your dessert on purpose just to get that happening, wouldn't you? How good
really
does it sound?
It's really delicious. It's absolutely beautiful. Oh. And then if you had other fruit that you were going to put on the pavlova, just pop it on top
pop
of the frozen
or put
ice cream
it in your freezer, right, Barb?
I was in that freezer.
What about a baked cheesecake, Barb? What can I do with that?
Yeah, well, I've had this, you know, you've got that trouble and you bake it and then by the time you cool in the oven for an hour and you get it out, now it's lovely and cold. But it's not cooked. You can't put it back in.
No.
You go. And it starts sinking in the centre. You can tell when you haven't cooked it long
enough. Don't you, Barb?
Yeah. So what you do is you scoop it out. Scoop out the centre, tablespoons of the cheesecake filling.
Yeah.
I put on disposable rubber gloves, the kitchen ones, roll it into balls.
Yeah.
Take all the filling out of it. And then I melt some chocolate, so milk, white, and you dip the balls in chocolate and then put them back on the tray. And at that point, you can sprinkle them with coconut, some finely chopped nuts, or even the chocolate that I've melted the balls in. I pop them into the fridge, remelt that chocolate. This is really good. You put it into a little snap-lock bag, squeeze it into one corner, twist it, snip the tip on it, and then you get the little balls out and you drizzle. So professional. Little thin drizzles of chocolate over it.
Oh,
So you just present these to people and they've got this creamy filling.
It's like a little cheesecake truffle, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You'd pay big money for those little morsels in a shop, wouldn't you?
You would, and they're quite filling because they're quite rich. But
Barb,
beautiful.
You make me want to botch my dessert on purpose. I don't have to do it on purpose. It just happens naturally. Amazing. Well, Barb, you've done it again.
Thanks, Amy.
Turn your disaster into dessert. Amazing.
That's true.
Guys, thank you for joining us for another episode of Trolley Watch. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to us, and you can join in with the fun every single week. We will catch you next week when we are talking about all sorts of exciting things. My favourite thing is we are talking about vegan or meat, can Barb pick it?
Let's hope.
Won't that be embarrassing? Definitely chicken. Not why. Anyway, thanks, guys. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.